Today I'll be discussing research that we've done on intimate partner violence and unemployment among California women. The Study for Health and Employment conducts research and provides consultation for the California Department of Social Services to address intimate partner violence in CalWORKs programs. And CalWORKs is the California version of Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, which provides cash assistance to women and their children. One of the reasons that we are interested in this link between intimate partner violence, or IPV, and employment is to understand how violence may impact women's ability to meet the CalWORKs work requirements. Previous literature on the relationship between IPV and employment suggests that there may be a specific directional effect of violence against women on employment stability. Two longitudinal studies, one conducted among a welfare sample of women and another conducted among a national sample of women, both found that current or baseline IPV predicted later employment instability, but did not find a relationship in the opposite direction. So baseline or current unemployment or employment instability did not predict later IPV. However, there is some controversy because other studies have not found a significant relationship between IPV and women's employment. One thing that really stands out is the different ways in which IPV has been defined. For instance, our last presenter, Michelle, defined IPV very specifically to be physically and sexually violent behaviors. And other studies also include measures of, say, psychological or emotional abuse, and this could impact the study's outcomes. Employment can be defined as employment status, unemployed versus employed, but could also measure the continuity or intensity of employment, how many hours are worked per week, how many months per year, or some measure of pay. Another thing that can impact these results is what sample has been used. So is it conducted among welfare or other high-risk sample? And studies that have investigated this link have been primarily conducted among welfare samples. So not only is the definition of IPV important, but some studies actually suggest that physical and psychological abuse may affect women's functioning in different ways. For example, a study by Dutton and colleagues that examined responses to violence in a sample of 149 women recruited from the legal system found that physical violence and injury were significantly associated with strategic response, such as attempts to leave the relationship or seeking legal assistance, whereas psychological abuse was a primary determinant of traumatic stress response. Now, qualitative studies have elucidated direct pathways through which IPV might impede employment. For example, abusers may interfere with women's ability to work by being physically violent, by stalking or harassing her at work, by destroying her work clothes or taking the car. These are all things that would be in the direct link. But several other studies have also examined whether the negative mental health consequences associated with IPV account for the socioeconomic impact of violence. And in particular, PTSD has been found to be one of the most robust determinants. PTSD refers to post-traumatic stress disorder. One of the most robust determinants of unemployment and low earnings among trauma-exposed populations. So the goal of our study was to examine the association of physical and psychological abuse, physical and psychological IPV, and employment status in a statewide sample of women. And in doing so, we hope to extend previous research that has been primarily conducted with women receiving welfare, and we hope to further characterize the relationship between IPV and women's employment by accounting for current symptoms of PTSD. To do so, we use data that comes from the California Women's Health Survey. It's an annual random digit dial probability survey of the adult female population in California. And the survey is sponsored by the California Department of Public Health. I forgot to change my slides. It was previously the California Department of Health Services, now Public Health. And in fact, the staff and procedures for the CWHS are identical to California's administration of the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey, which our first presenter spoke about. The annual statewide sample size is around 4,000 women, and for this study, we combined samples from the years 2001, 2003, and 2004. Participation rates were between 72 and 74% in those years, and we limited our analyses to women who were younger than 65 years old, who were active in the labor force, and who had complete data for all the study variables. And this yielded a final sample of 6,698 women. So now I'll talk a little bit about how we measured employment, IPV, and PTSD, since those things are known to be very important in this. So our employment measure was taken from a question that assessed current work status, and women were coded as employed if they reported working full-time, part-time, or being self-employed. Women were who reported being out of work were then coded as unemployed, and women who said that they were a homemaker, that they were retired, a student, or disabled, or unable to work were considered to be out of the labor force and were therefore excluded from our analysis. Our measure of recent IPV used behaviorally based items adapted from the conflict tactics scale, and these assessed past year IPV from a current or former partner. And you see those items on the screen. Items that referred to either physically or sexually violent behaviors were grouped into the physical IPV category, whereas items referring to stalking or psychological abuse were then categorized as psychological IPV. Our PTSD variable came from responses to a widely used four-item screen for PTSD, which assesses the four empirically derived factors of PTSD symptoms, which are re-experiencing, avoidance, hyperarousal, and numbing. And for this screen, individuals who endorse three or more symptom categories are considered to have screened positive for clinically significant levels of PTSD symptoms. For our analyses, we used both bivariate and multivariate logistic regressions to obtain odds ratios of 95% confidence intervals. Our multivariate logistic regression model was used to predict employment based on age, well, a whole bunch of demographic characteristics which are listed, our violence variables, and PTSD symptoms. And we also used post-stratification weights to reflect the age and race ethnicity distributions of California women according to the year 2000 census. So what did we find? Well, our results indicate that 6.2% of California women experienced physical violence and around 9% of California women experienced psychological violence by an intimate partner in the past year. Both types of IPV were reported by 4.1% of women. And one thing we were interested in determining is whether all women who experience physical IPV also experience psychological abuse. So we ran some crosstabs and determined that, in fact, about two-thirds of the women who reported physical IPV also reported psychological abuse, but about a third did not. And in terms of looking at women who experienced recent psychological IPV, about half had also experienced physical abuse. This graph shows the rate of unemployment among California women by their experience of physical IPV. We found a little over 18% of women who recently experienced physical IPV were unemployed, compared with just over 10% of women who did not experience physical IPV. Similarly, women who experienced psychological IPV were significantly more likely to be unemployed than women who had not experienced psychological IPV. See, the numbers are a little higher here for the psychological. So here is a table that was extracted from our bivariate analyses of the relationships between our independent variables and employment status. And in fact, all of our covariates that we adjusted for, or that we looked at, were significantly associated with unemployment in the bivariate analysis. So here you see the odds of unemployment by experience of IPV and PTSD. Now this next graph shows the adjusted odds ratio. And the women's odds of unemployment. So women's odds of unemployment after adjusting for all the employment-related covariates. And what we found from the multivariate regression was that the relationship between physical IPV and unemployment was attenuated when controlling for the other covariates, including psychological IPV and PTSD, whereas psychological IPV and PTSD were still significantly associated with unemployment. To investigate whether the differences in our multivariate relationship between physical IPV and unemployment were accounted for by current symptoms of PTSD, we conducted a post-hoc analysis that excluded PTSD from the model, and no significant changes were noticed, and so suggesting that PTSD symptoms are not confounding this relationship. So in summary, our study found significantly higher rates of unemployment among women who had recently experienced physical and psychological IPV, as well as women who have current symptoms of PTSD. Furthermore, our study identified psychological IPV and PTSD as independent risk factors for unemployment after adjusting for our employment-related variables. Now, although physical IPV is not identified as an independent risk factor for unemployment in our study, we do not feel that this rules out the role of physical IPV in women's employment outcomes. But what these results really do highlight is the role of the population level association between psychological IPV and employment status. Of course, several limitations should be noted in the interpretation of our results. The first of which is the cross-sectional design, which does not allow us to make any causal conclusions, which I sound ironic because this is like causes and effects of IPV this session. And most of us, I think, are presenting cross-sectional data. And also the idea of report bias, that this is such a sensitive topic and that's usually underreported. But I do want to note that while our results are consistent with previous literature that has demonstrated a directional effect of IPV on women's employment, and so although we are unable to rule out the possibility, I keep that in mind, even though we are unable to rule out the possibility that employment does have protective effects on women's experience of violence. Secondly, I think that future studies would definitely be strengthened by a more sensitive measure of employment. Here we were only able to use a dichotomous measure and couldn't look at intensity or continuity of employment. And one thing that our group is really interested in is the idea of economic self-sufficiency. So we hope that further research can kind of pull that apart and really help us understand this link a little bit better in the future. So in terms of implications, improving the prevention, identification, and treatment of IPV and its sequelae, such as post-traumatic stress disorder, may help women gain the resources necessary to achieve and maintain employment. And in both the workplace and in welfare programs, IPV awareness and education should certainly include psychological types of abuse and behaviors, in addition to their normal sort of physical and sexual screening items. And so screening tools should also assess exposure to psychological abuse. And women who are detected to have experienced IPV should get referrals to mental health treatment. And public assistance programs such as CalWORKs should continue to identify women who have experienced recent IPV and give them alternatives to the work activities that they're required to do when appropriate. So, thank you very much for your attention.